I want to greet you again, for those of you who are here for the first time, visiting with us. My heart is pounding with joy today, not because it's Resurrection Day, but I looked and I saw a countryman from my own country, a family that is here with us. Can you just stand up, brother, to the Kimundo, introduce the Kimundo. Wonderful. And Pastor Benjamin and your congregation, thank you. But today we are here because of Jesus. Yes. We are here to focus on Him and Him alone. Amen? Amen? We will glorify Him. We will reflect on His power and what He has made available for you and I. Amen? There is a song that goes, it would, if it hadn't been you, where would I be? And I love that song. Also, today we begin our theme for this next semester. That from April to June, we're going to be talking about Jesus, the cornerstone, our foundation, and what brings us together. Apart from our race and our denomination, there is a reason why we all gathered here. Is because of this wonderful Savior that gave His life as a ransom for all of us. Amen. Amen. I like the let's go back to our reading on this little portion of Scripture after the Sabbath. Yeah, let me do this. Put this way. There we go. After Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know who you are looking for. Jesus, who was crucified, he is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." I like the picture because the angel didn't roll away the stone so Jesus can go out. But for us to come in and see that he is no longer there. I like the story because I remember one of my favorite movie when I was a kid was Rocky Balboa. You know the story of Rocky Balboa? There was Rocky III. They were fighting. Excuse me, ladies, sorry. This is the only illustration. So they were fighting, and the opponents to Rocky was beating him up. His eyes were blue, blood was gushing out, and everybody on the sideline was telling him, "Stop it." And they saw the brutality that Rocky was going through. Every blow, he fell to the ground. But this is one thing that hit me really hard. When he fell to the ground with all the black eye and all his face was swollen, he looked up at his opponent and he said, "You are going down. You are going down." And the opponent came and beat him up again. He fell to the ground. And everybody, the wife who was outside, said, "No, just stop it. Enough, stop it. Somebody stop the fight." And this character kept standing up with all the strength that he had. He looked at his opponent who was beating him up, and he said, "You are going down today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, endure the pain and the punishment of our sin. Why? He didn't die because he was sick or ill. He died because that's what he came for. For God so loved the world, loved you and I, that he gave the only son he has, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. The heart of God. Every nail and punishment that Jesus endured on the cross is love. He was nailed to the cross because of the power of the love of the Father towards mankind. He was beaten, bled, because of these words, for God so loved the world, loved you and I, that he gave his only son. When I thought of that, I'm broken. I know how unworthy I am as a person. And this God would see a broken man like Joelle and saw the purpose of his purpose in my life, that is worth picking up the pieces, that is worth loving, that is worth dying for. And he did it. And that's how he saw us. And the world that's breaking his heart. But Jesus, like Rocky, or Rocky like Jesus, there is no other illustration can be compared to Jesus and all that he has done. What is so important about this? Somebody, one of the young people we have, somebody asked, what if Jesus didn't raise from the dead? What would happen? I thought of that. Have you ever thought of that? What would happen to our faith? What would happen to us who confess that he is? What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? This is very important. Because there will be no salvation for you and I. Our faith would probably just be reduced to another sect. Because the resurrection of Jesus holds everything together. Our faith, our foundation, not only that, but in the life that is to come. In John chapter 11, I like the story. Martha and Mary, they send for Jesus. You all know the story. The different gospel writers of the gospel, they portray the whole story of Easter from a different perspective. When Jesus was told to come, he stayed back. He told his disciples, we'll stay back for a few more days. His disciples said, but Lord, we have to go. These are the people that you love, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus is dying. And then finally, Jesus told them, he said, our friend Lazarus is dead. And for this reason, he said to them, for this reason, I am glad, so that you, all of you who are looking at me right now, will believe. And then they went, just very quickly, it's in John chapter 11, and they came to where Mary and Martha was, at their town, and there was a lot of people mourning. And Mary came to Jesus and said, Jesus, If you have been here, my brother would not have died. But thank you. We appreciate you coming. He's been dead for 4 days, or for how many days, but we appreciate. But if you were here when we sent for you, this wouldn't have happened. We know the story. Jesus spoke to them, said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you're dead, you will live again. Their response was, oh yeah, we know that. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yes, we know. He will rise again on the last day. But the end of the story was Jesus spoke to them, show me the grave where you buried him. Their response was, but Jesus, it's too late. I know that it's too late because he's been dead for a few days. And now the body will probably be smelling. It's this bad smell. You know the story, right? Jesus came to the tomb and he asked them, roll away the stone. And everybody's still persisting, but he's been dead, Lord. In other words, what they're saying, what is in there cannot be undone. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, but this situation in there is irreversible. Jesus prayed, and he said, Father, I thank you that you will hear my prayer. You always hear my prayer. But I pray for the benefit for those who are here, that they will believe. They roll away the stone. I like this whole scenario. He looked right inside the tomb, face to face with death, face to face with rottenness, face to face with stinkiness, with situation that cannot be reversed by human effort. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And life came. And everybody was in awe of what happened. But here in Matthew, in this chapter, we read that not only that Jesus raised people from the dead, but he himself was on his way there. Jesus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, I like that. That he says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So in other words, what happened was Jesus, he took on the punishment of our sins, yours and mine, and the whole entire human race upon himself, the full wrath of the judgment of God for our sin. He took it upon himself as if he was the one that committed it. Isn't that amazing? So that you and I can be reconciled with God. What else did he do? Says he in Philippians 2, 6 to 12, though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. Was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to the cross and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus went through all of this. He died. He gave his life. Say, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. Say that he gave his life. An amazing commitment. And then here he was. Not only that he died peacefully, in the grave, Jesus he invaded the realm of death. He went to the realm of death, looked at death in the face and said, you have no power. You have no hold over me. He defeated death. I like that. I like, you know, when I see the story of Rocky Balboa, he looked at his opponent in the face, blood with black eye, and he pointed him and said, you are going down. Jesus went down to the realm of death, as we proclaim in our affirmation faith, that he descended to the dead and he rose again. He went and he invaded the realm of death with his power. Yeah? And he took authority. He looked at death in the face and said, you have no power over me and all the people that belongs to me. You have nothing. I have dominion over you. I like that. Romans chapter 6 verse 9. We are sure of this. Christ raised from the dead. He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. That's why we gather here. That every day and every Sunday is a celebration of a risen Savior. That you and I, because of what he did, because of his resurrection, can raise with him to eternity. Amen? Think eternity. Think what he has made available for us. One of the young people that we were in our discipleship club group asked the question, what is eternity? What does that mean? What does eternity look like? Very long. It's a long, long, long time. One million years we're going to spend with Christ is the beginning of our existence. See, that death, all of us, one day we're all going to go. We're all going to die. You and I, whether we like it or no, we are going to leave this earth. Amen? Amen. Everything that you own, everything that you possess, your title, our material things, and everything, we are going to leave behind. We're not going to take any of this with us. The only thing that we are going to take with us is whether we have our faith rooted in Christ or no. Because at the end of the day, it's either we spend eternity in separation from Jesus Christ in his kingdom or together with him. Sometimes we are careful not to bring the message of the gospel. It is the message of the gospel that anchors around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That because of his resurrection, we are able, we have been given, made available, eternity is made available for us. Amen? And that's something that we, all of us, need to think about. Not only our relationship with Jesus, not only that coming here that we spend most of the time looking and thinking and focusing and on things that doesn't matter. That this, the church of Christ, that when we come here, we think and we remember what Jesus did for us and his victorious resurrection from the grave. That is made available. Salvation is available for you and I and whoever will put his faith in Jesus Christ. A question for us. Is there area in our life that we need to experience the resurrection of Jesus, his power? Resurrection always comes after death. Jesus has to die. Not out of illness, but of his choice and his love for mankind and his obedience to the Father. He rose up from the dead, not in spirit, in bodily form. If you look at the meaning of resurrection, it says there's somebody who was dead physically and rose up again physically. Jesus did that and paved the way for us that we might also experience life in him forevermore. Where do you need resurrection? Is there anything in our lives that we need to let go, to bring it to the cross, to die? Are they a part of my habit, my thinking, that I need to bring and submit to the cross? Is there things that I'm struggling with? My insecurity, my prayer, my hope, my faith in Christ. Be encouraged today. There is hope for us that Christ, the risen Savior, is here with us. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Our destiny, he said, "No one comes to the Father." That's our destiny. And Jesus said, "Except through me." And the way there is through Jesus Christ. No other way. Amen. I want us to just close our eyes. We're going to pray together. And I want us.